No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Man, you hit a moose. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse.
And welcome back to our prom month coverage, everybody.
Woo-hoo.
We have in store for you guys another sequel.
Yes.
And this is a sequel to a movie that we had already talked about once before on the show.
Which was not prom related. Unlike last week's sequel.
Yes. But don't worry, this one is very much a prom movie. And that movie is Cabin Fever 2, Spring Fever.
Yes.
So, before we get into all of that, Jesse, do you have anything that you would like to announce?
I do, in fact, because we did a very interesting double feature. And I think you'll see some of this confusion coming out between this episode and the episode I'm about to plug, which is where we watched Witchcraft followed by Cabin Fever 2, because we covered Witchcraft for our To Be or Not To Be this month. And that was, just go check out the movie, check out the episode. It's a lot of fun. It's of the Muniz era. We enjoy it.
Yeah, it was a fun little time. It was a nice little surprise.
Yeah.
It caught us both off guard, I think.
Definitely.
So, okay. I have our poll results for last week's movie, which was Hello Mary Lou Prom Night 2. And for prom month, we're just asking everybody to choose your prom date.
Yeah. Who are you taking to prom?
The four options from that movie were Vicky, Mary Lou, Billy, or Craig.
Okay.
So over on Instagram, nobody's taking Vicky.
Wow.
78% are taking Mary Lou.
Okay.
What are y'all thinking? She was a terrible prom date. Billy gets 11% and Craig gets 11%. Meanwhile, over on Twitter, 20% with Vicky, 80% Mary Lou.
Okay.
And nobody getting Billy or Craig.
Okay.
Out of that bunch there, I would personally take Vicky because she seemed like she would be a fun time. Mary Lou was terrible. She cheats on you at your prom and is all about just winning the prom queen. She doesn't really care about, you know, the date. It's all about who you go home with, according to her.
I think I'd go with Craig because we could ride up on his motorcycle and we could stop for coffee on the way and nobody's going to lecture each other about what we put in our coffee.
That's true.
So I think we'd have a good time.
All right. Well, all right. That's that.
Yay.
All right. So let's talk about Cabin Fever 2.
I'm so excited to talk about this, actually. I've been dying to talk to you about it all day, so I'm glad we finally get to.
For these right here, we don't really like to talk about it until, like, we save our conversations for the show. That way it's fresh and organic.
Yeah, that way we can react to what the other one's saying.
And Cabin Fever 2 was a first time watch for us both.
Yes.
So it was interesting. So this is a brand new experience. So let's get started. Yes. Cabin Fever 2, Spring Fever, released, or it premiered August 21st, 2009 at the Fantasy Film Fest.
Okay.
And then it had its at-wide release February 16th, 2010 on DVD. So this was straight to DVD.
Poor shame.
We watched it on Max, which is the only place you can watch it if you want to stream it. However, if you do want to rent it, you can do Amazon, Apple, YouTube, or Fandango at home.
If you've got Vudu. The premium versions of like Hulu or Prime or YouTube TV, you can watch it there.
It was on Stars, I think.
Yeah.
Is what it was, yeah.
So if you've got the more premium versions, if you're already paying out that big money, don't rent it.
No.
Look for it
just
on one of those.
Do your research. Yeah. Do your homework. All right. So this was written by Ty West and Randy Perlstein, who did the story, and Joshua Malkin did the screenplay.
Okay.
Directed by Ty West. Music by Ryan Shore. Special effects makeup done by Ozzy Alvarez and Christian Beckman with the help of Quantum Creation Effects.
Ozzy Alvarez. That name sounds familiar to me.
You might be thinking of Ozzy Albies.
No, that's not who I'm thinking of.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't really do any digging to see if they had done anything else. They did amazing work in this movie.
Yeah, and they had a lot they had to do.
Yeah, so I do give them credit because they did a great job. All right, starring Noah Segan as John, Alexi Wasser as Cassie, Rusty Kelly as Alex, Giuseppe Andrews as Deputy Winston, and Michael Bowen as Principal Sinclair, with Ryder Strong reprising his role temporarily.
Briefly.
All right, time for our favorite game on the show.
Budget or Bucked.
And I do have the budget. So, Jesse, what do you think it is?
I think that this is probably Bucked, considering it went straight to DVD. Mm-hmm. I think it's not like, I think it's at least a million. But I don't think that it's like, you know, over 10 million just because it didn't have like a theatrical release or anything.
Okay. Well, you might be surprised. It had 5 million.
Okay.
To work with here. Don't have an opening box office since it's straight to DVD, mm-hmm. but I do have the estimated DVD home media sales.
Okay.
Which was 714,000.
Okay.
So not terrible. Yeah. Pretty good. IMDb, I'm going to go ahead and say rude, 4.3.
What the fuck?
Out of 10, yeah. It's, that kind of surprised me. And I think a lot of the reaction to this movie in general has been kind of surprising to me because I haven't really looked into it until after we watched it. And after doing some research, this doesn't seem to be a very popular movie.
No.
I know. All right. So
my feelings are already hurt.
I know. I got a theme.
Okay.
Not quite as weirdly specific as yours was on our to be or not to be.
Mean for it to work out that way. I just saw all those posters and I was like, well, this is a very 2000s thing, so let's go with it.
Yeah, she go watch the episode for that. I'm not gonna tell you. You gotta listen.
It was my most specific theme so far.
Yeah, it was impressive, honestly. I just did like one that I've done before, which always works and I feel is always interesting, is direct to DVD horror sequels.
Okay.
Which was a dying art at this point in time.
We're
getting right to when streaming was building steam.
I feel like we're coming back to a point of like, we're kind of doing an inverse right now where it's like the originals were direct to DVD and now we're getting like the two theater sequel era.
Yeah, you know what, you're right.
Yeah, we think are about like Terrifier 2 and there's a few other examples that I can't think of off the top of my head right now, but I feel like we're seeing a resurgence of that. Just trust me, guys.
Look into it. Just gotta Google it, bro.
Google it, bro. Yeah.
Okay, so the first movie I have is Children of the Corn.
Which one?
It's a remake.
How many times are they gonna teach us this lesson, old man?
Oh no!
Oh my God! How many times has this movie been remade now?
How many sequels to this movie are there? I saw this.
So many.
It looked like a shit.
How much corn is in a field? That's how many movies exist in this franchise.
It's insane. Yeah. So this released September 26, 2009 with a $2 million budget.
Wow.
Don't have a gross, but the IMDb is 3.8.
I didn't even know this existed.
Dude, you should know better at this point. Just if you can conceptualize any form of a Children of the Corn sequel, it probably exists out there.
Okay.
It's like Murphy's Law. Is that the law?
I don't know. Murphy's Law is anything that can't go wrong, Will.
Maybe that's Murphy's Law.
I think you're thinking of, what is it, like Rule 64 or whatever for if a porn version of something.
Rule 31?
31, something. I don't know. Whatever. It's a where like if a porn of something can be thought of, it exists already.
Whatever you think of, there is a porn
of it.
Why isn't
that called Rule 69?
No, it's not Rule 69.
No, I'm saying why isn't it called that?
Oh, you know, I don't know.
If you're going to call it a number.
They didn't think too hard about it. That's a shame.
People.
Okay.
Come on.
Second movie, The Descent Part 2.
Okay. I've never seen it, but I think like the original British ending was beautiful, and the American version is less beautiful, and then they used it to make a sequel for money.
Yeah, I feel like I might have seen this a long time ago, but I can't tell you anything about it.
I think we've watched like the opening of it together before, but maybe. Then that's about it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't hit as hard.
No. I don't know. I'd be willing to give it a shot. We've had requests from listeners out there that want us to cover the first one. So
I would love to cover The Descent. It's one of those movies that makes me like viscerally uncomfortable.
Yeah, same.
But I do think it would be a good one for us to talk about for sure.
We'll check that out in the coming months. Stay tuned. But release for that, the second one, came out October 14th, 2009. I don't have the budget, but weirdly enough, I have what it grossed, which was $7 million for a straight-to-DVD movie, which is insane.
God damn.
That's pretty, pretty good.
Pretty, pretty good.
IMDb, also pretty, pretty good.
5.7. Wow, so people like The Descent, too?
It must be a strong follow-up.
Okay. I guess.
Don't knock it till you try it. You know, it can happen.
Fine. I guess we'll watch it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying. There's a lot of movies out there where I'm like, really? Like, would a sequel really do well? And then I'm like, damn, that's actually though? Pretty good.
I was not optimistic about Cabin Fever 2, and I
love it. Exactly, yeah. Okay, the final movie, Vacancy 2, the first cut. Don't make sense.
Is it a prequel?
I don't know. Maybe. I've never seen it. I've seen the first Vacancy.
Doesn't it have Luke Wilson? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
I'm glad I didn't make that up. I feel like I know I've seen the first one. And
first
one's
great.
I don't know if I've just seen it multiple times or if I've also seen the sequel.
I could be wrong. There's something that is telling me that Gary Oldman is in the first one. I don't know if that's true.
I'm gonna look it up. Yeah, we're gonna IMDb this shit.
Editing on this one.
We can take as much time as we want. I can say poo poo pee pee pa 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 pa, and that's
I'm not cutting that.
Okay. We got Kate Beckinsale and Luke Wilson. Those are some big names.
Wow.
Luke Wilson, what is it? Luke Wilson could do Zoolander. Owen Wilson couldn't do Vacancy. Okay. There's no way Gary Oldman is now. Okay. There's a Cary Wayne Moore.
Must be who I confused him with. Must be. I saw his face like, that looks like a Gary. No. Okay. Well, either way, that released January 20th, 2009. $3 million budget. Don't have a gross. IMDb 4.9.
Okay.
One tagline.
Just one.
Just one tagline. This time it's spreading. I don't know. I kind of like it because like spring fever, this time it's spreading. Like, you're spreading the fever. Like, like it's prom. Like, we're spreading prom, like spring fever to everybody, except this time it's actually like a flesh eating disease. I kind of like it.
I think you just made the tagline worse with all of that.
I made it better in my mind.
Yeah, that word salad was full of listeria.
You're welcome, Ty. Don't worry about it. Okay. So on the fun facts, I don't have a lot of variation with this, but I've got something interesting that went down with this thing behind the scenes.
I'm kind of curious because when I was this was one of those movies where I was obsessively on IMDb throughout because all of the people looked familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw briefly a glimpse of something in the trivia that I stopped reading because I figured you were gonna be talking about it.
That's all you're gonna be talking about. It's the fact that Ty West hates it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first off, my first thing is just it wrapped filming in 2007, so they sat on this thing for 2 years.
They probably needed all that time to do the animation at the beginning and end.
Look, I'm from this era. I was doing those types of animations, and I can tell you that stuff was, it's nice, but it was some of the crude stuff. Okay. And they were doing a lot of tweening. And tweening is it was like a technique that was seen as lazy back in the day. It's not frame by frame. You're not redrawing frames. You start from a keyframe and then you draw it out and you move it to where you want it to be. And you're like, all right, tween. So that means it moves on its own without you actually doing the animations. Some people can make it work, but generally you can spot it pretty well if you know what it looks like. And
today I learned.
Yeah. Hey, man, I know animation shit. Yeah, I used to do that stuff.
That's really fascinating to me because I was like sitting here thinking, how long did the animation take? So I'm glad to have your insider knowledge.
Yeah, that was definitely probably like somebody they probably got somebody that did flash animation off the internet to do that, would be my guess.
Fiverr.
It could have been somebody from Newgrounds. I don't know.
Excuse Aaron me. Hansen.
No, Aaron Hansen was way too good. Aaron was actually a really good animator.
Oh, no, I believe that. I just, it's him and, Didn't you say there was a rapper that you also like?
Soldier Boy.
On, yeah.
Yeah, he was on Newgrounds. He was decent.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's whoever does "Bitch, I Look Like Goku," which is Soldier Boy.
Yeah, he wasn't too bad.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, let's get into it. Ty West hates this fucking movie.
Yeah, didn't he want it to be under his pen name?
No. Oh. Kind of. Like, okay.
I say pen name. I feel like it's something different when it's not writing.
I'll go into this whole thing here. So he was initially super excited to do this. So he was contacted by Lionsgate. Lionsgate was like, hey, man, you can totally do anything that you want to do with this thing.
Oh, I never believe a studio when they tell a director they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, and he was like, cool, because I want to do whatever I want with this thing. And they're like, we fully support you. Go do what you want to do. Yes, what?
Was this his first movie?
I believe so, yeah. I think this is his
first... just trying to figure out if they knew yet how weird Ty West was.
Okay. Well, here.
Because, like, I'm imagining Lionsgate looking at this baby director be like, okay, well, he's not going to get that weird with it.
Here's an interesting thing. House of the Devil did come out this year, okay, too. But, I mean, like, he made this film back in 2007, so it's different.
Okay.
So, this is his actual first feature-length film.
That's interesting, because for the longest time, until now, I thought it was House of the Devil.
Yeah, well, same year, but, yeah, okay. Different. What he wanted to do with this is like, I wanted it to be the weirdest follow up to the point where people would say, this is what Cabin Fever 2 should have been.
I love this weirdo.
Yeah. So he's like, he didn't want them to, he wanted it to be completely different than what anybody wanted. And Lionsgate were excited for that as well whenever he told them about that. So that's what he did. He made that movie. He shot it. He wrote it. He did all that shit. Then they got to the editing process. And once editing began, Lionsgate stopped him. It's like, hey, no, we want this to be more like Cabin Fever. So he got really frustrated.
He's like, but we specifically said.
We went over this. So, yeah, they forced him to do all kinds of, like, a bunch of different reshoots, edits, and shit like that.
I think Cassie's hair looks fucking terrible in some of it,
Okay. It could be. Yeah, I think that they may have even done some of the reshoots themselves, but he doesn't really claim this movie to be his. He requested that they use the pseudonym, Alan Smithy.
Okay.
That's not... his thing. That's a general thing that filmmakers use when they that's the universal pen name that they use when they want to disown a film.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you ever see a director as Alan Smithy, that is somebody that did not want to be associated with that. They don't claim it to be the work, they disown it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why did they not let him?
Well, they refused because they claimed that redoing the opening credits would be too costly. And he can't do it on his own because you have to have the producers okay it. You can't just do that yourself. So reluctantly, he has his name attached to this film. And I've got a quote from him too. It was like a thing that was going on. He was doing press for House of the Devil. And there was like shit going around on the internet. People were like, it leaked out that he did not want to be associated with it. So when he was doing press, people were like, okay, so like, what's going on with Cabin Fever 2? And this is what he had to say. I don't feel I deserve credit if Cabin Fever 2 succeeds. And by that same token, I don't feel I deserve blame if it fails. I wrote the story and shot most of the footage, but it was completely re-edited and partially reshot by the producers, editors, and executives. The movie they are releasing was not really directed by me. Since I am not a member of the DGA, the use of a pseudonym has to be approved by the producers, and Lionsgate felt that it would be too expensive to redo the titles and would decrease the value of the final product. They denied my multiple requests to use Alan Smithy for my director credit, and my name, unfortunately, remains on the film. I don't have any animosity towards those involved. I believe they had good intentions, but filmmaking is very personal for me, and I can't stand behind something I don't feel responsible for.
Wow.
So yeah, he hates this movie. He disowns it. He does not claim it as his.
I want his Snyder cut of this.
I'm curious to know what's different.
Yeah. I already feel like this is a very different movie than the first one.
Yeah, well...
And I get hints of the director that we'll end up seeing with X. You know what I mean? Because Ty West has become so known for his, like, slow burn stuff. And I was very surprised with X. And then seeing this, I was like, okay, I kind of see little hints of that. And some of the ways certain things were shot, like, I could see it.
I could see it too. Yeah, and I don't necessarily feel like this is too different from the first one. I feel like they succeeded in making it totally similar to that because you got...
I bet he didn't want the party cop.
I don't know, man. Like, maybe. That does feel like something that was maybe like inserted in
and
there.
And all of that stuff is separate from like all of the high school stuff.
I don't know, though, because he shares a scene with Larry Fessenden, and that is very much a Ty West guy.
Oh, that's true. They are bubbies.
Yeah, I feel like he probably had him there. Maybe just for like a cameo, like he had Ryder Strong.
Yeah.
But maybe he didn't want it to expand on Party Cop as much as we got.
Yeah.
But no, I would be very curious to know. Like, I mean, it has the same black comedy that the first one had.
Yeah.
You know, it does match that tone, but it kind of bums me out that he doesn't like this thing.
I know.
But, you know, like, if it's not what he wanted to do, I completely understand.
Yeah.
And that's really all I have for fun facts.
Not so fun facts.
No, but it's interesting stuff.
It is interesting.
Yeah. I did not know that shit went down with us here. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get into our discussion. Good, bad, ugly, and absurd. Jesse, what did you like about this?
Oh, man, I love that this was a bunch of high schoolers. It was a much larger group. We're in a school. We see the rowdiness of everything happening. It feels like it's spreading so much faster than it was before. And I like that because it kind of, we don't have time to sit there. Again, it's kind of surprising coming from Ty West that we're getting straight into the action of it all.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. I enjoy, like, the weird moments of, like, the one girl with the doing the blowjob in the bathroom.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, you know it's going to happen, except because he, like, subverts what you're expecting. So we don't immediately see, like, an infected pee-pee, and instead later it's his fucking fingernail. Like,
his pee-pee is infected, to be fair. We learn later.
Yeah, but, like, we don't see that. And, like, yeah, you know, the whole scene with the pool, I was kind of surprised by how that was going down. So I think, you know, he did a lot of interesting things. He took, like, some very tropey stuff from a movie that, like, you know, its predecessor was very tropey in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it had a lot of fun. And I think it was fun all around. You know, it had a good cast. I enjoyed the cast.
It was interesting. I was reading, like, a part of an interview that he had, and they asked, like, what drove you towards Cabin Fever? Because you and Eli Roth make wildly different films. And he's like, yeah, we have completely different styles for what we do, but we like the same things.
Yeah, and I think it, like, it has the same kind of, like you said, tone and sense of humor without, like, the dude broiness that you a lot of times get with Eli
Roth.
That's
exactly what it is. I mean, you get, I think,
you have moments because you do have, like, horny teenage boys in here. Like, the friend, what's his name? Alex, I think?
Alex is it, yeah.
Yeah, like, you have moments, like, with him and Rick and them, but, like, there's more to the movie than that.
I think that that's, like, very true to that type of character, though.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, and I don't know. I think it's fun. It's interesting. It's got a weird sense of humor and a weird sense of doing things and knowing when to show you stuff and when not to show you stuff because of what could be more horrifying, like Alex's penis or Mary's baby.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, those moments that you're just like, oh, God, that's so horrible. I don't even want to see it.
Yeah, I think the not showing that was the right call because
it was worse.
The thing with Mary's baby was just seeing the blood trail and seeing it in the trash can and then, like, just.
And she couldn't have been that far along, too. Like, it's just horrifying because you know whatever's in there, it's bad.
Yeah. I agree with a lot of what you said. Just to add on top of that, I think that the effects work is fucking fantastic in this movie.
I think that's hard.
It's like a rare movie for us where we both are just screaming at each other, like the fingernail scream.
Yes.
Scene. I was just like, I couldn't fucking handle that. It was so well done. It looks so realistic. Just for those that maybe don't know what I'm talking about, there's a scene where Alex, he's losing a fingernail and he's getting ready for prom, and he just takes it and he just shoves it back in his fucking finger and it goes super under his skin. Super glues it back to his finger. Oh, it's so nasty, but goddamn, it's so good. And that's another thing that I love about this movie is the body horror is so effective. I feel like it was maybe even more effective than the first movie.
Okay. Sorry, I got curious because we're talking about the special effects again. Ozzy Alvarez works. He is booked and blessed, and he is actually going to be featured on our show later this month with Sox.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. That's probably why I recognize the name.
Yeah, they did fantastic
work.
Got
a shit ton. He's done, like, some superhero movies. Like, he's worked.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Party Cop being a character in this, too. Even if Ty West maybe didn't want his involvement to be, that's just pure speculation, too. I don't know if that's the case or not.
It just feels off from some of the rest of the movie to me.
It just goes back to the original Cabin Fever, where you have those weird moments with him doing his thing, and I feel like it fits naturally in a Cabin Fever movie.
I agree that it feels like he fits naturally in the Cabin Fever movie. I just feel like there's maybe a little bit too much of him.
I disagree. He's one of my favorite characters. I love that character. He's so funny, and he's actually like a good character and does shit in this movie too.
Yeah, he does. He does move some stuff along in the movie.
Yeah, he's not just like comic relief like in the first one. Like this one, like he actually is given like a pretty decent role.
I forgot a good on my list.
Okay.
Prom Night. Prom Night plays.
Oh yeah.
The disco song from Prom Night with Jamie Lee Curtis. Because like when we saw prom and there were disco balls, I started singing Prom Night, and then it goes Prom Night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I was like, ah!
Unfortunately, we don't get an extended dance scene.
We do not get an extended dance scene, but this made up for what I was missing in Hello, Mary Lou last week. So.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so what are some bads then? What did you not like about it?
Like I said, I think Party Cop, I do agree that like he moved the plot along, but I also feel like the character's a little bit one-dimensional, and I think his shtick tends to work better in smaller doses. Like if he had just appeared at the beginning, like saying, oh no man, you hit a moose, but I get why he's like there and he's doing more, like he is kind of integral to some parts of the plot.
I think it's interesting watching him actually do work, because you see a character like that and like, well, how the fuck is he a cop?
Here's the thing though, is that he's doing work, but his work is mostly some CYA and
CYA.
Cover your ass
in this movie.
Yeah,
but like it's still interesting to see like, oh, he is capable.
Yeah,
like, it's kind of cool to see that like side of him.
Yeah, so there's that, and then there are just like a couple of characters that I feel like we don't get enough of an intro to, that are like
the friends that invite him over, like, to the movie.
Yeah, there are some that we get too much of an intro to that end up not being important, and then some that are like not introduced that do more. Like we see the janitor that's like just so fucking annoyed with everybody, and we don't get much beyond like a banner that was thrown into the floor, and I'm like, that was really easy for you to clean up. Like I get that it's rude that somebody just left it on the floor, but
I think he's just like a jaded janitor. Like you know what he's been through, because he's a janitor at a high school. He has to deal with high schoolers all day.
Or like Sandy Taylor. Like she's introduced early on, and then really what she ends up being reduced to is the fact that her, like, she gets slapped by Mrs. Hawkins.
That's it. Yeah, she's like the prom queen,
which is like like it's a funny moment, but like it is led to believe that she's gonna be a little bit more important. There's like just some weird moments like that, and I wonder if that comes down to like the way this things were reshot and cut and edited.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, you feel like she's gonna be the love interest, but then it comes over to Cassie.
Yeah, well, we've got Cassie, and then we've got the girl that like Alex makes out with in the bathroom. I don't even know if we ever get a name for her, do we?
Yeah, I think we do. Okay. Well, actually, I don't know if we do or not. I don't know. That is weird. Okay. Is that it for your bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just like a couple little moments that hearing the background makes me think that it was maybe more of like a studio interference situation rather than like a problem with how Ty West was making the movie.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But the way that this movie played out, I don't know if I would have wanted to see Ty West's version, because I love this movie so much.
Yeah, this is so much fun.
My only bad thing that I could say that I didn't really care for is I thought, and I'm going to say that this is purely a Ty West decision, is the weird lens that they used on the camera, because it just made things narrow and thin.
Yeah, no, that's Ty West. That's 100%
that was, yeah,
Ty
exactly.
West.
That's a decision that he would make. But do you know what I'm talking about? Did you notice that too?
Yeah.
It was weird. Like, I can understand shooting certain scenes with that, but doing the entire movie with that is, it's a choice. It's one that he went with. He wanted to just, like, make it stylistic, I guess. But, I wasn't really a super big fan of it. Okay, ugly stuff.
I'm going to say Rick, because at first I thought maybe he actually was really into Frederica, but then you find out it was just a bet, and I felt really bad for Frederica.
That was one of those things where I thought, oh, we're getting like a straight up diversion of what
was like,
this was
like. They do actually start sexing, and I was like, you get it, girl. And then her tooth falls out, and he was like, oh, I just bet you'd be an easy lay. And I was like, oh, Rick, how dare you. Like that whole scene, like that was an emotional roller coaster for me. like the whole Rick and Frederica thing. So I'm disappointed that it ended like that. Because I would have loved it if it had just been like, no, he just wants to be with her. Social pressure to be with Sandy, but he actually wanted to be with Frederica. I would have loved that.
It would have been interesting. Yeah.
More interesting dynamic to explore for sure.
My ugly is towards the end when John boys up at Cassie and becomes kind of incelish, where he's like,
oh my god, that whole rant.
Yeah, he's like, why are you with him? He's such a jerk and I would treat you so much nicer. I'm such a good guy.
I'd treat you like a queen. Yeah. Maybe she doesn't want to be treated like a queen. Maybe she wants to be treated like a fucking person.
Yeah.
Maybe you idolizing her is off-putting to her.
Well, the dude was kind of a dick. Like,
yeah. I'm not saying that John, not John.
I don't even know his name.
Yeah, it's Mark.
Mark, okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying that Mark was a good guy or right for Cassie. I'm saying that Cassie needed to go off to school and leave all of her small town thoughts behind and see who she could meet in the big wide world.
I think he was fine to say, why are you with a guy like that? He is such an asshole. He treats everybody like shit. And then as soon as he said, I would treat you so much better. I'm such a good guy. That's when he like kind of gets in the incel weird territory. Like,
yeah, he's like, can't you see I'm in love with you? Everybody else can see I'm in love with you. Okay, cool. Just because you're in love with her doesn't mean she's in love with you.
Yeah.
John?
Yeah. He just kind of...
I'm picking the bear over you, John. I'm telling you that.
At the same time, I kind of do enjoy that they do make it like a realistic character. He's not like a fucking Mary Stew, you know?
That's true.
Like, he's got his flaws.
Yeah, he's very realistic as a nerdy teenage boy that everybody expects. Like, he's going to go on to an Ivy and be a big doctor. And yeah. He feels real.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
As a human.
So that, I mean, it's an ugly thing, but it's like a good thing. I like it. It makes it like a... true, like a true thing.
Yeah, yeah, it grounds the movie some in an otherwise ungroundable movie.
Yeah. Okay, absurd stuff.
Okay, there's so much absurd with this, but I think the one that I'm gonna go with is when he realizes that he's got a lesion on his wrist, and then he asks Cassie to help him cut off his wrist, a la Evil Dead, except just like, first of all, they cut right through the lesion. So there's that happening. And then the blood is just squirting all over both of them. So, okay, cool. You didn't think this through when you were going to cut your wrist off, because now you've definitely just infected both of you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a bad call on his
part.
Dummy. The absurd that I had was just that party cop is like actually a good cop. Like, he actually can do shit. He fucking goes sleuthing, man.
I'm gonna say he's got the potential to be a good cop, except you find out he's sleuthing to cover up his traces of being involved.
Yeah, I like that he's like, I love that it's still true to his character, though, because at the beginning, you get him, he's like, don't worry, man, you hit a moose, it's cool, you didn't hurt Ryder Strong, he's totally fine. But then, like, later on, he's like, oh, shit, that's the water. The water went there, and he goes there, and he's like, oh, shit, I'm gonna dig through the files and everything, and he fucking does it. Like,
he does, except he's trying to make sure that he knows nobody knew he was there. He takes that specific file so that way he's not involved anywhere. And then he tells Toby, the water guy, to be like, okay, just tell them not to drink the water. I gotta go, bye.
Well, I think he knows. So he's like, these guys are gonna kill whoever does this, whoever spreads this.
Yeah, he's seen what was happening with the hazmat in the first one. So he was like, I gotta get out of here.
Actually, I don't think he saw any of that stuff, because he was like...
He knows enough to be suspicious.
He's partying with the kids, and that's he sees Ryder Strong come out of the woods, and he's like, what's going on, man? I love that character so much. I just love that they gave him, like, dimension.
A little bit.
But they did. It's the thing. Like, they still, like, they just show that he can do it.
I'd call him 1.5 dimensional.
He's great. He's my favorite character in both movies.
Oh my God.
He's so fucking good. I was reading something about him, too. Apparently, that guy's just vanished off the face of the planet.
Really?
Yeah, he went down to Florida, and nobody knows anything that happened to him again.
Typical party cop.
Yeah, I feel like that's actually him. He's like, yeah, I'm going to... Bet Florida's got all kinds of cool parties, man. Maybe he's alien.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. All right, so what do you rate this?
Oh, this is an 8.
Okay.
It's fun. It just keeps coming at you in a way that I want this type of movie to keep coming at you. And it doesn't make any sense. And it's very silly and very gory. And I love it.
God, man. Like, I fucking love this movie, too. I think I might like it more than the first also.
Yes! Yeah. I was scared to say it because I know you love the first one, but first I definitely great. Love this more than the first one.
The first one's great, but I actually had like a fucking blast with this one. I think I'd give it a 9.
Dang.
It was a great movie, man. I can't really think of anything that I can think of so much that I loved and barely anything that I hated about this.
Okay. Well, we got an 8.5 starting average, and that is pretty, pretty good.
Pretty, pretty good. All right, let's get into it.
So we start off at Downhill Water, and we see Ryder Strong waking up all toxified in the water.
Yeah, I'm surprised that this is actually him because they covered him in effects makeup.
That's Ryder Strong. And I was like, absolutely not. You can't even see his face. There's no way he's coming here just to get hit by a bus covered under 10 pounds of special effects prosthetics. And no, it was him.
Yep, straight up. I mean, come on. He wasn't really doing a whole lot after.
It's true.
You know, like.
That's true.
Boy Meets World is done here. He's, yeah. So yeah, he wanders out. He's got the flesh disease.
Yeah, and as he's running through the woods, you know how sometimes like when you run through the woods, like clothes will get snagged and little bits of cloth will hang from the branches. That, but his skin.
Yeah, just like chunks of his skin are just kind of on the tree.
Yeah, it's like nasty. He's trying to make some flesh jerky.
Yeah, he makes it to the road. Stands in the middle of the road as a school bus is approaching, and you would think that the school bus is paying attention and sees him there, but no, straight up splatters him, which leads us to our title card of Cabin Fever 2, Spring Fever.
Yeah, so Party Cop arrives. He's the investigator, and he tells the driver that he hit a moose, man. You know, he's like, these things make a big mess.
I love the fact that he got upgraded from his little bicycle in the first one. He's got a full-on cruiser now. He's got a cop car. See, he's doing good things. They've seen him, and they're like, you're a big boy now. You get a car. And then he goes out there, and he's like, yeah, you hit a moose, man. Don't worry about it.
Michael Keaton took the Whitting gun back.
Dude, Michael Keaton could be his chief. Who knows? I just like maybe they like him on the force because he just kind of like keeps people calm.
Yeah,
this guy's distraught.
He's good. Yeah, he's like, listen, man, just laugh a little bit. It's all okay. Could have been way worse. Here's a picture I keep of this one woman who hit a moose with her car and it was just sticking right out of the windshield.
Yeah, Lori's like, yeah, and I keep a picture too because nobody fucking believes me when I tell them the story, man.
I love this little shot, but when the driver gets back on and he starts to drive away and he's trying to clean the windshield, something about the little wipers just pushing the blood around. Dude, is so funny
to and me. It's also funny because you see in the school bus the kids are like they're looking like from the back and they see the body and they know that that's a fucking person that got hit and they are traumatized.
So the bus leaves. Party Cop finds a shoe with a foot inside, and then he also finds a watch in the room and he's like, huh. Then he gets a call from the station. I mean, he's like, you need to come down here because the feds are moving in and I need to make sure that you're not going to say something that you would normally say.
Yeah, the big city peeps asking how they do things. Like, something tells me that they, like, people are like, something's not right here.
Yeah, they're like, they want to come check out the bumpkins and see if they're doing their investigation correctly. I could see the, like, small town sheriff being nervous about it. You know what I mean? Like,
could be.
Also, like, a little prematurely offended.
I feel like this is the hazmat people, though. Cause
oh, for sure.
Yeah, they've already swooped in to eliminate them at the cabin at this point.
Yeah. Then we have some cartoon opening credits where it shows how the contamination of the necrotizing fasciitis, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know Latin. it's in the water supply, and it's going through Downhill Water. It's getting into their drinks. We see it being carried into a school. We also see that the bus driver goes, and when he gets to the school, the janitor has to clean the bus, and he gets the blood all over his face and into his body. Yeah. Like, we just see how it's, like, spreading around, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I know I was saying it was crude, but it's kind of nice. Like, I appreciate, like, animated openings like this right here. It's kind
of
cool.
It does give, like, a sense of, like, okay, well, this is how we're getting the story. We're learning the story through montage.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we don't have to waste a bunch of time explaining how it traveled to the school. This is how it traveled.
Which, with this right here, I can understand why the producers are like, that's kind of too expensive to have that guy reanimate that shit.
I feel like they just need to fix the frame with his name on it, though, right?
I don't know. It might be a little bit more involved than that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So either way, it naturally cuts to the school, and one of the students there has grabbed a water bottle. That is Sandy Taylor, who walks by.
And Alex says Sandy Taylor is fucking ridiculous.
Alex has the fucking emo hair.
No, here's the thing, though. He says Sandy Taylor is fucking ridiculous, and somebody in the background is warming up for band class and does the wham wham. Ty West has such a funny, subtle sense of humor, and I love that.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So they're talking about, like, he's like telling him that, like, he knows that he wants to get with Cassie.
Yeah, he's like, encouraging Cassie him. Totally broke up with Mark, and you can go for it. We all know you love her. She's there. She's waiting for you. And then Mark is like, listen, don't you dare get with Cassie. She's mine. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pins him up against a locker, and then he takes him and tosses him into a classroom, which gets John in trouble for some reason. No tolerance. Bullshit. Yeah.
He is the poor kid. I feel like Mark is from a rich family, and I think maybe John is like a scholarship student or something. Because this is for sure a private school. They're all wearing the uniforms.
Yeah. But it's interesting that he doesn't get blame, and it's so clearly Mark that's doing all this shit. Like, he didn't throw a single punch. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he just got thrown into a classroom.
Yeah, the principal's already over his shit.
By the way, the principal, you might not recognize him with his little mustache and thinning hair, but
what's
previously his name was Buck, and he did at least once upon a time like to fuck.
I would assume he still enjoys that.
I mean, maybe. yeah,
maybe.
He doesn't have a name that rhymes with it anymore, though.
No, what is his name here again? Sinclair.
Principal.
That's his name. He's like, this is my destiny.
Principal.
Yeah. Principal Sinclair is his name.
If you say so.
I do. So okay. It's Ty West.
Okay.
Yes. Maybe that was one of his edits that he disagreed with.
And John's like, I didn't start the fight. And he goes, listen, you get 5 more weeks here, then you're out, okay? So just stay out of trouble. Man, this is one of those schools that goes into June, and that sucks.
Yeah, he's like, look, man, you're a good kid. Like, why would you do something so stupid to start a fight?
And he's like, I didn't. He goes, whatever, Jim, get out of here.
All right, now at class, they're like, they're talking. It's like one of those days, like, you can tell everybody's phoning in at this point. The teacher's just got the movie on, like, watch the movie.
Well, it seems like it's a tutorial video on how to dissect a frog, but which is what they're doing. With 5 weeks left, you're past the dissecting a frog point of the curriculum.
You should be at this point.
But the teacher's getting mad because John and Alex are talking, and she's like, you need to be quiet. And then another student gets annoyed because they start talking again. And Alex tries to say something, and he ends up getting removed from class. So he's mad and rips down the prom banner, which upsets the janitor. Because he was like, God damn it, you kids.
Why the fuck is he mad? He knew that this was going to happen. He just seems like he doesn't give a shit anymore.
Here's the thing. I get it. It's rude to just leave trash in the floor, and I would never do that. Especially with the thought that, oh, somebody else gets paid to clean it up. That's shitty. That's shitty behavior. But also, it could have been so much worse, and I guarantee at this school it has been so much worse. So,
oh, surely, yeah. This guy, though,
seeing him react to, like, a giant piece of paper that takes him half a second to pick up, and voila, the mess is clean.
Yeah, but it's the straw that broke the camel's back,
I'm sure. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
So
He's wandering the halls, and he finds, miraculously, this girl crying all by herself in an empty classroom. Don't know what the fuck is happening here. This is definitely movie shit.
Yeah, she says she's been dumped, so he's like, well, that guy's an idiot because you're beautiful. So then they make out in the bathroom, and then she goes down on him, and she's got braces, and he's rightfully nervous.
She's got braces and also an infected mouth.
Yeah,
she's got like a little pus building up on the lip there. It's kind of nasty.
Yeah,
he doesn't really care, though. He's just getting his wiener winged.
Yeah.
And
then he's like, so do you want to go to prom with me? And she goes, that's not what this is about. This is about revenge. And he was like, will you please go to prom with me? And she goes, listen, I have to work for a living, but if I find someone to cover my shift,
yeah, maybe we'll maybe meet there.
And
she
he's
says
like, okay.
Yeah, so now after school, the buddies invite John to go watch.
I didn't catch both their names. I know that they're referred to as D&D.
D&D, yeah.
One of them's Dane. The tiny one is Dane.
Yeah, I don't know their names either. I just knew D&D. But they invite John over to watch Bride of the Cannibals 2.
It's banned in 26 countries.
Yeah.
It's even gnarlier than the first one.
I like it. I like the name of that. It sounds like it could be a fun movie.
Yeah, I'm very curious about it.
But John really would rather go to prom. So, yeah.
Cassie approaches and she says, hey, will you walk with me? So they talk. they talk about John's friends, and this is where he's explaining that, you know, his friends are super smart. She goes, well, you're also super smart. You know, everybody knows you're going to make it out of here and be like a big hotshot doctor. And it's going to be great. And, you know, I can't get out of this town. And I feel like you probably could.
Yeah. And then they make it back to her house. She starts to go inside, but he builds up the courage to ask her to prom, and she declines. Which, yes. This is another one of those things that, like, subverted the trope. I thought for sure she was going to be like, yeah, let's go.
Well, especially because the whole time they were talking, like, she keeps mentioning prom. She goes, yeah, who wants to go to prom?
Prom
is, like, so lame. Yeah. You know, I don't have a dress or anything even. I mean, just, like, an old thing that probably would work. But, like, you know, I don't want to go to prom.
yeah. So, yep, he's pretty frustrated with that. So now we cut over to Party Cop. He's getting pancakes at a diner with Larry Fessenden, who was the truck driver of the water company that delivered the bottles.
And my note just says, Larry Fessenden appears and dies.
He is drinking milk, so he may be a...
He probably knew that water was infected. And he's like, yeah, fuck them kids.
Could be. Yeah, he doesn't even get a line. He just shows up and he dies. He falls on the floor and he just starts, like, convulsing.
And then one of the people there, instead of, like, doing any kind of resuscitation effort, starts praying loudly over him, which you guys might think it's maybe something, a bit of a stereotype. But this is, we literally talked about this last night because this happened to me in college when I had some bronchitis and I was just trying to get food from one of the cafeterias, and I had a coughing fit while I was checking out, and the cashier prayed with her hand on my head to cure me of my sickness.
Sickness be gone.
My coughing fit subsided at that moment, as it would have. But she was like, you're welcome. Okay.
So, I was there to experience that. It was a very weird moment.
I was going to confirm. That's how it went down.
Yeah. Can we take a moment here to appreciate that Party Cop is the most responsible person here? Because he's flirting with the diner, like the waitress there. And then she's like freaking out and she doesn't know what to do. She just grabs the phone and he looks at her and he's like, 911, man.
I wrote that he has a brain blast because he sees Larry Fessenden dying, thinks about the shoe tree, thinks about the watch, remembers back to the first movie, and he's like, oh, donuts, and what's going on?
Yep, so he leaves, and he just puts it all together. On the ride back, he's like, ah, shit. So he turns around.
So then we get a prom prep montage, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, Alex calls John. He's like, look, man, got his dates. We're going to prom. Alex has to talk John into it at first, but he reluctantly agrees. And then we get that montage, and then during this montage, upbeat music, it's all fantastic. But we get these shots of Alex's fingernail just slowly coming off.
Yeah, and at one point he gets the super glue to glue it on. And then when he pushes it in, he, like, literally pushes it into his finger. And I'm just going to say, this is worse than the leg shaving scene.
It is.
There's so much worse.
Oh, my God. I'm thinking about it right now. And it's just so, like, clearly in my mind.
You know what the solution is? Stop shaving your legs. Like, she kept going. She, like,
yeah, but what do you do here, man? Like,
yeah, your fingernails, she's like, what am I gonna do? You know,
you gotta go to prom. You can't go to prom without a fingernail. What the fuck are you gonna do?
So we have all of these shots of people, like, getting their suits, doing their hair and makeup, all of that going on, intermingled with, like, John and Alex getting ready. But then we also see Mark in his garage, like, doing his, like, martial arts with his little headband on. Yeah. And I love it. Like,
that was cool.
What a little weirdo. Like, at least if you're gonna be, like, the stereotypical, like, antagonist, like, at least you're fun.
It's like the fucking Karate Kid bully.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's just there to just fuck shit up and be an asshole.
He's Cobra Kai.
It would have been funny if we saw him, like, practicing with the fire hydrant, just, like, bashing watermelons and shit. He's like, I'm gonna bash somebody's head tonight. I know it. I can feel it. Okay, so Party Cop arrives at the water company, and he's checking on the water supply. He's wanting to check the records.
Yeah, he basically convinces Toby to let him in.
Yeah, then we cut back to prom. They're making the punch for prom, and Frederica,
she's got the prom committee chair ribbon on, which is not a thing anybody has, but she's
probably
got
made it herself.
And you know what? I bet she's got, like, a ribbon drawer at home, and she's got specific ribbon scissors. She used a Cricut to print off her little, like, the little center part of it. I love Frederica. I want a whole Frederica movie.
Oh, like, we should also Frederica and I can't remember the Rick. Other girl. Rick, no, the other girl.
Oh, Mary?
Yeah, Mary. She's the pregnant girl that they She's were talking pregnant. About in the class earlier. They're their two dates to the prom.
Yeah. Yeah, Mary is pregnant. She's wearing like a loose dress, but when she like holds it up against her, you can see a bump. I'd say like 5 or 6 months, maybe, if she's like normally.
She's
a tiny
showing
build.
Pretty well. Yeah.
She's showing, but she doesn't look ready to burst, and that's important for later for what the implication's going to be.
Yeah,
I know it's weird to have an implication without a boat, but it's fine.
that's what we got here, folks.
So yeah, she's making her punch, and she's using the bottled water, which feels wasteful when you're in like an industrial kitchen and can just get water from the sink, but whatever, they're rich kids, they probably don't even consider that you can just drink water from the sink. Anyway,
she pours the water in there though, but it keeps coming up like bloody.
No, because she's putting in the punch mix.
I know, but she didn't like it the first time because it looked too weird, and then she just redoes it again and it just stays like this. She's like, I guess this is just how punch looks, but no, it's because of like the infection that's in the water bottle.
So Rick comes in and she's like, oh, what are you doing here? He's like, well, Sandy's preparing her speech, and you know, I wanted to come see you. And then he whispers something in her ear, and they run and they go to the school pool and they skinny dip together, and we see them both get full knickers.
Full naked, yeah, for sure. While they're doing this, the janitor that was pissed off from before, we see that his mouth
literally
is
pissed off.
His mouth is straight up infected, and he takes the punch bowl, puts it on the floor, and just pisses all in it. And
He's
it starts off a normal stream. It starts off a normal stream,
but then it goes full ginger snaps.
It goes all blood. Yeah, there's just he doesn't seem phased enough by it. He's just like mildly concerned, like, huh.
He's like, I'm due for a prostate exam.
Yeah, okay. we'll address this later.
Yeah. Right now is for vengeance. Monday is for is for the HMO.
So Rick and the girl, Frederica, I think it was her name.
Yeah.
They're having sex now. And as they are making out, her tooth falls out, which causes him to get grossed out. And he's like, oh, I was only doing this because I bet my friends that you would be an easy lay.
So, and then she's like, but please help me. And then she drowns and he's like, fuck. And so he like kind of grabs a net to try and reach into the pool, and then he gets pulled in and he also drowns. And this pool is full, like, it's just all bloody now. It's nasty.
Yeah. Alex and John arrive outside the prom.
Oh, I didn't even write notes on this.
They're going inside.
Yeah.
Now we cut over to Party Cop. Yeah. He's over there at the water company. And
he sees the files and realizes that the water from Down Home Water went to Springfield High School.
Yeah. So he tells the dude there, he's like, look, man, just tell them what happened here. Just tell them that everything's infected. You're going to be the town hero, man. Everybody's going to want to be with you. You're going to get laid and everything. It's going to be great. You're going to party. And then he bells. And as soon as he bells, a hazmat team comes inside because he saw them.
Yeah.
And he gets the hell out of there, and they shoot the dude up as soon as they open the door.
Yeah, Toby's about to be like, hey, man. And then he gets shot.
Yeah.
We cut to the prom and prom night.
Yeah, we get the prom night jam.
It's amazing. I'm very excited about it. Sandy is not excited. She's freaking out because Rick's not there. And she's yelling at the principal and Ms. Hawker, and Ms. Hawker slaps her.
Straight up slaps her, yeah.
This is all kind of in the background, too, and it's just, like, it's hilarious.
So, John's there. He's about to go get some punch, but Cassie stops him, surprises him. She's there at prom.
Yeah, and at first, John is very excited, but she's there with Mike.
Yeah, and she goes off. She's like, all right, you guys get punched together. You guys, because you guys are clearly friendly.
Yeah, you guys are clearly friends.
Yeah, you definitely didn't get in trouble earlier because of a fight.
I'm good at reading the room.
Yeah, and Mark takes him and pins him. He's like, look, man, like, I'm going to have all of the sex with her.
He does this macho bullshit.
Yeah.
And, like, possessiveness over, like, another fucking human being. And then, of course, Principal Sinclair is like, John, why are you fighting yourself all alone here in the middle of the gym? You're expelled.
Cassie sees and gets pissed off at Mark and storms off, too. So, they kick John out of the prom. Cassie follows.
It's kind of implied that he's kicking him out of school, too. He's like, you're out of here.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she follows him out of the school, and they're walking around. I do like here, we see at the prom, the rabbit is also there. I like that they keep the rabbit consistent with this.
I like that they keep the rabbit, but it makes me mad watching the mascot drink the water through the mesh opening in the head, because that's not how the, like, they're not fitted to your face.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's but,
just pouring water on the person inside.
Yeah, but the rabbit was one of the things that stood out to me the most back in the day when Cabin Fever was coming out. I remember the trailer, seeing the quip of that, it freaked the fuck out of me. And then I just like that he's here partying with them. Like, it's so cool.
I like it.
He's partying with the mean teacher. Like, yeah. You know, they're having a good time.
Yeah, because instead of getting to enjoy his prom, he's got to be in this nasty, stinky mascot outfit.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to party with the teacher. He probably hates everybody else there.
Truly.
Plus, Miss Hawker seems like she could probably throw down.
All right, so now we cut to John and Cassie walking. This is where John blows up at Cassie and does his incel shit.
He's like, you're stupid for being with Mark. He's the meanest guy in the school. He's constantly beating me up, and he's rude to you, and I would never treat you like that. I'd treat you like a queen. I love you. Everybody knows I love you. You're the only one who doesn't know that I love you, so you're stupid again.
Yeah, she's speechless. She doesn't even have like anything like, to say like, to this. She's like,
wow, I remember once upon a time when we were friends. Feels pretty unsafe right now. And then the hazmat people pull up and it definitely is unsafe, and they force him back into the school, and he's like, no, I'm just trying to leave. And they're like, no, get in the school. And then when they're pushed in there, like, they're chaining up the doors.
Yeah, they're quarantining them there. So they go inside, they go to where the pool was, and then they see it's just covered in blood, and they see the body. I thought that this body reveal reminded me a lot of Sleepaway Camp when the guy rolls over from the canoe.
Hey, Baba Ray Ba.
I can't remember the dude's name, but yeah, it reminded me a lot of that.
He's Baba Ray Bob.
Baba Ray Bob.
That's what I That's think his name. Of him as.
okay, so...
John tells Cassie to go get Alex and not take no for an answer. And when she goes in there, she grabs Alex and his date disappears. And he's like, great, thanks for cock-blocking me. And then she looks over and sees Mark is dancing with a girl and grabbing her ass.
Grabbing some ass. Yeah, he's just smiling at her. Yeah.
And then so, the principal is not listening. Like, he hears what John's saying, but he's like, no, that feels not real. He's like, I'm the principal. I feel like they'd tell me if they were quarantining the school. He's like, let me. And they're like, look, there's dudes in like Monsters, Inc. outfits right outside. Like, how about you go check out what's going on? So, and so he walks towards there. And these hazmat people, I gotta say, maybe their end game was just to blow up the entire school. Who knows? But they have to shoot through the window to hit the principal when they're shooting him, you know?
It's causing a contamination potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a bad move. Maybe that person that did that got like scolded after the fact. Maybe that's their party cap.
Who was it that I discovered was one of the hazmat people?
Joe Swanson.
Yeah, I was going to say, Joe Swanberg.
Swanberg, yeah.
Maybe it was him. It was his birthday.
You know what? That would be right.
That actually feels like true for Joe Swanberg.
Yeah,
like,
Ty West. That shoots through the window. Ty West is like, I disown this movie except for that part where he does that because he would do that. And also the part where Larry dies because that's also what Larry does.
That's what Larry does.
Yeah. Those are the only things that I claim from that film.
Larry lives through the whole thing are rare.
Yeah.
they necessitate Barbara Crampton, and sometimes even then that's not enough.
Yeah. So yeah, the principal got shot in the head. He's dead. Okay, so now the team is gassing the building. The whole prom area is also seemingly locked too, so they're gassing the students in there.
I love this. So the smoke bombs come out, and then the students are also simultaneously starting to feel the effects of the contamination, and they're just exorcisming the blood all over,
just vomiting blood everywhere. It's so much blood vomit.
Yeah, this is honestly this whole movie. With how like balls to the wall it is, and how much blood and gore and random shit there is, it gives me like Piranha 3D vibes.
Yeah, I could see that the way that this goes. Which was I could feel that. The janitor then stumbles out and he's dying, asking for help, and then he just dies.
And he falls over into the little like arch thing they have in front of the gym, and when he does, it falls over and it blocks the gym doors. So all the people trying to escape, it's kind of Carrie-esque. Except, like, nothing's on fire, but it looks like it's on fire from, like, the effects of the smoke bomb and the blood flowing through the air. It's honestly, like, the way it's shot is so fucking cool.
It's interesting that, like, all prom horror movies seem to come back to Carrie. Because they all take beats from Carrie when it comes to this. Like, chaos happens at the prom, and then everybody tries to scatter, and they all die.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it just, it makes sense.
It's cool. Like, I like it.
Yeah. It's found, and I love it. I love that that's Stephen King's, like, first or second book. That's badass that, like, he went on to have this whole career, and also he changed, like, a whole genre of movies once the book was adapted.
It's solid. Insane. So they all realize that it's some kind of like that infection or whatever. They realize everybody's getting that infection, so they decide to check each other.
Yeah. Well, at first they're arguing about like if they should go get a phone and call for help. And John's like, no, we need to leave because they're shooting people. We've got to get out. So they're arguing about which way is the best exit. And then they're like, well, we need to make sure we're not contaminated first.
So they go to the locker room.
Yeah. Cassie goes to, I like how they like have the boys' locker room and the girls' locker room, and they go to them. If you were wondering, Alex's dick is in fact fucked up. He doesn't want to look at it himself. He asks John, he's like, look at my dick. Have you seen my dick? How's my dick?
And it's gnarly.
Again, Piranha 3D.
Yeah.
They hate my penis.
Yeah. So yeah, that's not going too well there. Cassie, though, she's in there. She's checking herself and she hears some crying going on. So she goes to check in the shower. That's where Mary is.
Again, Carrie. Very Carrie-esque vibes because she's just covered in blood in the locker room shower. Yeah,
she's just sitting there on the floor crying. There's like a blood trail, and then you follow the blood trail.
Yeah, she said that she had the baby.
Yeah, and she doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it just leads all the way to a trash can.
And she's like, oh, God, you should see it. I don't know what to do. You don't hear any crying or anything besides Mary.
Yeah, baby's dead.
Again, like I said, she did not look full term yet.
No.
I know some people can be really tiny, but even the tiny ones like have a pretty bumpy belly when they're ready to pop.
Boy.
Yeah, it's just, it's dark and it gave me goosebumps watching it last night. And we both got like, because, you know, for all of this, we've been going like, oh, yeah, ooh, gross, gnarly. And then we just got so quiet.
It's dark. It's
fucked up.
It's pretty dark. So
I bet that alone is why this wasn't in theaters.
I don't know. Plenty of movies have
gone there. I could see that being a thing, though, that, like, they had a hard time selling it to the MPAA.
It's possible. So she is wanting to go to Cassie because she just wants help, but Cassie doesn't want to touch her because she's infected. So she grabs a pole or something and just hits her, and it kind of tears her flesh because it's already weak, and she just dies.
I feel like she could have just left the locker room. Like,
yeah, but she was going to chase you. This girl was going to, she wanted to make some kind of physical contact. She was,
she would have gotten that phone.
She was reaching for a hug. She was coming after her. It's the same thing. It's like a zombie. Like, a zombie is going to be slow, but you still want to stop the threat.
This is like a sad zombie, though. Like, she just wants a hug.
Zombie's a zombie, man. Like, it's the risk of getting infected. I totally understand it.
So, we cut to Party Cop, and he calls his cousin to come pick him up. And he's like, I got the paperwork. There's no trail. They'll never find me. We'll just get out of here. And his cousin's like, dude, you're a cop. You can't just disappear because the other cops will notice. He's like, nah, man, it's all good.
Yeah, I got the files, man. It's cool. They're not going to know I was here.
And his cousin's like, okay.
Yeah. So they're leaving town.
Alex is not okay. He's looking pretty rough, and he's going through the halls. The school is being swarmed by the hazmat people, and John and Cassie are hearing gunshots, and so they're freaking out. They run into a room and they see Miss Hawker, and she is also not doing very good. She's being very loud, which is concerning to them, so they hide around. She's like, and hers is kind of heartbreaking, and it's also very reminiscent of the douchebag blonde guy from the first one who's like, I survived, I did it, I made it out, I live. And then the hazmat people come and like shoot her. That's exactly what happens to her, and they do not sweep the room again. Joe Swanberg, is that you?
It was kind of cool that the teacher didn't sell them out, though. I thought for sure she was going to say, no, they're over here.
I feel like all of these people have to be pretty delirious by the time they get to this point.
Surely, yeah.
They're just reacting on instinct. So they do sneak out of the room, though, because they weren't caught.
They go looking for Alex, and they can't find him. But and Alex, John
figures that Alex went to the library because Alex was saying that Alex needed to figure out what was wrong with him so he could cure it.
They go to the library and they find him just on the ground. He's bleeding out. he had the book and he opened it up to the page of the disease.
Necrosing fasciitis.
The disease is incurable and amputation is required to stop the infection.
Mm-hmm. Cassie goes over to the doors and she locks them. Mark appears and he's trying to get in and she's not letting him in. And then he just like straight up, once again today, I'm going to reference the Irreversible. And does that to another student, except this time quite literally because it's with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
And she's like, not convincing me to let you in here, bud.
Yeah, well, I think he knows at that point. Like, he bashes the dude's head, and it's, like, a pretty good bash, and you see it all. And then, like, after that, he's like, yeah, I'm probably not getting it. So he leaves.
Yeah. And while this is happening, John and Alex are having their bubby moment as Alex is dying, and he's just saying, like, go, I want you to get out. I want you to be safe and live. And it's just very, like, aw. I mean, he was kind of a typical teenage douchey boy, but he could have grown up to be a less douchey man, you know?
He had potential.
And it's sad to seeing his friend, like, have to say goodbye to his best friend.
Yeah. Party cop is stopped at a roadblock on his way out of town. They come up, well, his cousin's like, don't worry, I got this. So he, like, gets out of the car and goes over to him and just, like, tricks the cop and just knocks him out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they're going to get past the roadblock.
Yeah.
John tells Cassie, because he sees that he's got the lesion, and instead of doing the typical like zombie movie thing, I'm going to ignore it and assume that I don't have the same zombie disease everyone else has. I'm special. He's like, no, I need to go full Ash Williams on myself, please, and I need your help. And it immediately has to backfire because they're both sprayed with so much of his infected blood.
It's like Tarantino levels of blood shooting out of his hand.
It is insane.
And then they take a blowtorch and cauterize it.
Yeah.
Yep. And then they kiss.
Yeah. And the kiss is interrupted by Mark braining Cassie.
Yeah, he like comes in. She's got a big fucking cut on the back of her head.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It is like her scalp is split and she might have a skull fracture. Like, yeah. It's bad.
It's not good.
And he's trying to kill John, and John, to his credit, is very injured at the moment. He's going, ow, 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 you're on my stump. And Cassie, somehow not unconscious with concussion, is able to whack Mark and kill him.
No, she takes a nail gun and shoots him.
Yeah. Oh, well, whacks him, like, whacks him with the...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I took whack as, like, hit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, mafia whack.
Yeah. Him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they manage to escape into the woods, but John is like, I'm dying. You maybe didn't cauterize me the best.
He collapses. Stupid. Yeah, and he's like, go on, just go. So she does, but they catch up to her and grab her, and then he gets up and jumps on the cops, and they all forget about her, and they all focus all of their efforts on him.
Yeah, well, they, he's a lot bloodier and definitely looks like he's probably infected.
True, but they had like 10
yeah.
people there, like, five and five.
Yeah, they yeah. really Joe Swanberg'd this whole situation.
They did, yeah. So Cassie runs off.
Does Joe Swanberg deserve everything we're saying about him?
Yeah, he does. I think he does. So she makes it to the road, and there's a van approaching, and wouldn't you know, it's Party Cop and his cousin.
And they're like, shit, man, yeah, we'll get you to the hospital. Party Cop back on his bullshit. He's not having his brain blast moment where he should be like, oh no, dude, you're
she's covered
infected.
In blood. Yeah, yeah. I saw this shit in the last movie. Come on. Yeah, so they let her in.
They're gonna take her to the hospital. If you think the movie's over, you're wrong, because we go back to the girl that made out with Alex earlier. When she said she had to work for a living, she's a stripper, and if you think that's horrifying because she's in high school, you're correct. What's also horrifying is some of the patrons being like, I think she goes to my daughter's high school.
And they're all like,
the other guy going, hot.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's upsetting. Ugh. And she's also got lesions all over herself and is swapping fluids with various patrons.
She takes off her top and she's got like pus bubbles all over her boobs, and then the guys are like, I'd still hit it.
Yeah.
So then we cut to them actually, she's giving them like a lap dance.
Yeah, like a private lap dance, the kind that I think in shadier places leads to full-on sex.
Yeah, it seems like that's the direction it's going.
Did you hear now we get to have sex with the customers. Except she throws up on him because she's not feeling good and he's upset about it, and obviously he's got her infection now, and she goes home and he goes home and She had, her coworker borrowed her lipstick that had gone over the lesion on her mouth, and so that coworker has it. And then we do more cartoons for the closing credits.
Animated credits showing exactly what happened. So it shows the spread of the disease is going everywhere.
Yeah.
Because the truck driver, like one of the guys there that was at the stripper, like that got the lap dance. He's a truck driver. He pisses in a bottle, throws it to people that were honking at him.
And they're in a convertible.
Yeah, so it gets all over them, and it's just spreading across. Like,
Two of the patrons were from Mexico, so they drove back to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the original dancer, she goes home, and she's sick in her house, and then she's got her whole family, and it's just, the implication is that it's going to be, like, worldwide.
Yep. And so, that's how it ends.
And I like the inclusion of the cartoon here at the end as well, because like you can let your imagination run wild with stuff like this, and obviously like seeing how it ends with her, like you know that like she's spreading it to all these patrons and these patrons are going to go various places, and there's no reason that anybody would think that a high school student from the infected high school is going to be dancing at the strip club. So you know, you can think about how immediately catastrophic all of this is. Again, I'm going to reference Stephen King with The Stand. And the implications become global pretty quickly. And I like that the cartoon shows us some of the ways that that can happen.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting seeing how it can spread. Yeah. Like, it's really fascinating. Yeah, the cartoon does a good job of like showing that. It's a really cool way to end the movie. Yeah. I really liked it.
Yeah.
So, okay. How do we feel after talking about it?
I still feel really fucking good. I think I'm going to give it, I'm going to bump it to an 8.5.
Okay. I'll keep mine at a 9 because it feels right for this. But man, I fucking loved this movie. It was so good. So much fun.
So our new average is 8.75. Almost double the incredibly rude IMDb rating.
I still can't believe it's as hated as it is.
I'm very curious to see what some of the reviews are for this, to know why people don't like it.
Yeah. Okay. Who did you relate to?
I guess I probably related to, I guess just the girl in science class is like, hey, can you please be quiet? I'm trying to do my work.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
just like, hey, yeah, like you guys are having a full conversation at full volume, and it's kind of, at least whisper.
Oh, also forgot end credits. D&D, totally fine. They were just watching the movie.
Yeah, Bride of the Cannibals too.
Yeah, which that's who I relate to is D&D because like that is my type of night right there. Just watching that Bride of the Cannibals too. Fuck yeah. Absolutely. It looked like it was a fun movie too.
Yeah, it seemed like a fun time.
Yeah. Okay, what did Talia think of it?
Talia was pretty sleepy by the time we got to this last night, but then she was having like some party moments, so she was like kind of on and off. Like she'd have her bursts of energy, and then you know she'd need to go rest, and she was, you know, she snores pretty loudly.
Yes.
I think Talia is going to, because Talia understands the implication of spreading, like how quickly stuff like this can spread, because she does in fact like to lick all over people and
she's lived through COVID.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. So she's like, you know, I think that this is pretty scary. It's realistic. I'm not so much sure that this is how quickly it would spread, but it is in fact a terrifying terrifying thought experiment to have.
You know, that is an interesting thing, because you hear about some of these diseases that are highly contagious and highly deadly, like this one is. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, a lot of times with those diseases, they have a terrible spread rate because they kill the person that's carrying the disease so fast that they don't have a chance to spread it. But this happened at a prom.
Yeah.
And they contained it pretty well. But once it got into that water supply also, that's just fucking game over. It's going to so many people.
Yeah, and this is just one example. Like, you know that Down Home Water didn't only sell their water to the school.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're not
even
seeing the other stories of what happened.
It's happening at home, so all over the place.
So I think Tali's going to give this a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
I think this properly frightened her.
I agree. And Zoe?
Who do you think Zoe thought was the most superior hunter?
Man. I guess she probably I would like for her to have thought that the party cop was great, but I think she probably really respects Mark's ability to like fuck shit up. Like okay. He like was like at home training. It's like when that's she's true. Like fighting herself in the her reflection, she might be training doing well, that.
See, and I was going to posit party cop on my end of things because he does the sleuthing around and the sneaking and the stealthiness, but he also does get distracted and he enjoys a good pancake.
That's true.
So right. He's taking the time to like refuel and everything, which we never see Mark do.
That's true. Yeah.
So I think party cop gets the edge just because of the food factor.
Okay, let's go with party cop. Okay. Cool.
Dream sequel?
Yes, dream sequel.
I'm gonna be really honest. Like, I don't know how you can easily do a sequel. I think you have to do, what are they called? Like a sidequel? Like something that's happening at the same time as all of this?
Well, I don't know. See, here's the thing. Party cop got out of town.
He didn't, though, because he has Cassie in the back of the truck with him and his cousin.
We don't know that, though.
No, we see her get in.
No, we don't know what happens from there.
Okay, so you want to continue following Party Cop then?
Yeah, because all we see is them drive off. Like, something could happen in the van where they get the fuck out of there and they just, like, abandon her.
Hear me out. He's got some weird genetic thing where he is immune.
Immune.
Him and his cousin, they take her to the hospital. Chaos starts happening at the hospital, so we get this setting. Things going haywire, and him and his cousin are just like, what the fuck is going on, man? And they can't leave because obviously like things get locked down and they're just like wandering around like Shaun of the Dead style, just kind of fumbling through it all.
I'm gonna take a page from The Last of Us here, and this is from the game. I don't know anything about the show, so I'm not trying to spoil anything, but the thing with that is he's taking care of this girl who is immune to the disease, and in order to cure the whole world, they have to kill her. They have to, like, you know, like autopsy and shit, like, you know, inspect her body, find out what it is exactly that's causing the immunity. I feel like
you could probably do some testing without killing her.
Well, here's the thing, you gotta tell a compelling story, and that's how you do it.
Yeah, right. I get it. I'm just, you know, immediately I'm like, I feel like there's probably like a less dramatic first option.
So here's my suggestion. They want to do the same with Party Cop. They have to kill Party Cop to cure the disease. Party Cop is selfish. He just wants to continue partying. He doesn't want to die. It's about his journey of escaping and trying to get away from that.
I want to see them actually capture him and he winds up in a bunker like in the beginning of Pineapple Express, and they like convince him to let him do testing by giving him weed.
Yeah, that'd be cool. There's a lot of things you could do with it. It could be fun.
And then he kind of slowly morphs into Bill Hader, and then we just start Pineapple Express.
Look, man, I'm not going to get sick of Party Cop, so I'm very much biased towards the sequel.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's do it. Let's fucking do it.
Okay.
All right.
Tagline.
So, it was This Time It's Spreading was the original. Ooh. It gets under your skin.
I like it. Gets under your skin.
I'm just thinking of the fingernail.
Yeah. This is stupid. Something about, like, in high school, rumors spread quickly. This spreads faster.
I kind of like that for, like, a prom, like, high school movie.
Yeah, like, and it lets you know that it's, like, gonna be involved in a school. Because you don't actually know. Spring Fever, I thought it was gonna be, like, Spring Break.
I don't know which one to go with. I like them both. It's gonna flip a coin. Whichever one wins is the one I'm gonna go with.
All right, guys, you'll see what the end result for the new tagline is. Yeah. on the art.
Yeah. Okay. Now time for a review.
Okay, I'm very curious to hear reasons why people don't like this movie.
Well, see, I didn't know how you felt. I thought that you might have liked it, so I did go with the one that was negative.
Good.
And this was somebody that came out of seeing it at the Fantasy Film Fest, so before it had its DVD release.
Okay.
I have seen Cabin Fever 2 at Fantasy Film Fest, and it was the worst movie I've seen in a long time. The acting was beyond horrible, the story was non-existent, and the dialogue was a nightmare. As for the gore, well, it wasn't funny disgusting like some scenes in the first one, but just disgusting. If you like breasts full of eczema, or if you love watching pus come out of a guy's penis, this is your movie. There was one funny scene, a cameo by Judah Friedlander, 30 mm-hmm. Rock, and that's the guy.
Toby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a fairly entertaining 3-minute appearance by an almost unrecognizable Ryder Strong at the beginning of the movie, but that's about it. If this movie will ever come out on DVD or even gets into cinemas, trust me and avoid it, even if you, like me, really like the first one.
Here's the thing, though, is that there's definitely a story to this. I'd say as much of a story as the first one.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's very much a story. It's like a bunch of kids that are going to prom, and then like the prom is contaminated by the infection from the first one that spread to the water supply. I think that that's a really good story.
And honestly, though, I do think that there are some funny moments with the gore, like the one couple that's slow dancing and then they're just like vomiting into each other's mouths. Yeah. How do you not find that? If you like gore, if you're a gore person, how do you not find that hilarious?
I feel like some people probably laughed at Alex super gluing his fingernail back too. Yeah. I was disturbed by it, but I can see people finding that funny.
Or like, you know, like I said at the beginning, the bus driver like just trying to wipe away the blood from his
hitting Ryder Strong, like straight up, like that. I feel like was kind of played comically.
I don't know, man. It just feels like somebody who's loyal to the first one and doesn't like this follow up, which is fine.
Yeah,
if you feel that way, it's fine. I don't understand those arguments because I do think that they're funny.
It's interesting. I guess this person wanted it to be more Cabin Fever 1 like the producers did. And then instead you get a little bit of Ty West and you get a little bit of producer stuff here. And then this is what we get.
This is just like with Hello Mary Lou last week. Like, I don't care that it's not related to the first one because it's fun.
But it is related to the first one.
Yeah, this is more related to the first one than Hello Mary Lou was to prom night.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it's a continuation of the story. You can't follow those characters from the first one because they're dead. Except for Ryder Strong, who immediately dies.
And like, I get letting people do their own thing, but like there are a lot of like media types out there, like where an editor is there and they correct shit that people do, and you know the creative mind might not agree with it, but like a lot of times sometimes that stuff makes for a better product. Like it might not be what you wanted, but it might make it a better movie, and that could have been the case with this right here. Like Ty West, like what Ty West would have wanted, and there might not have been what this movie needed to be good.
Yeah, I am very curious of what his original product looked like.
Yeah, me too. Like some of my favorite things have been things where like a lot of Dragon Ball, some of the best moments that happen in that are because he wanted to do something and his editor was like, no, don't do that. Change it right now. And then he changes it and it's better.
I mean, I've said it before. There are plenty of times that Stephen King books needed to be edited down. And he, when he was in the height of his fame, his editor was afraid to tell him to tone it down.
That's a thing that happens. Yeah. Once you get too fart smelly, you get high on your supply, like you're like people become yes men and they don't tell you no.
And I get it because they're definitely like, we're both creative people and we both do things, and I get it from the perspective of like, this is the vision I had, and it feels, especially if you're somebody like Ty West who takes it very personally. Like, I can see that, like, I don't want to compromise on my vision, but you do sometimes have to maybe take some feedback and see if there's, like, a good compromise to be had, or maybe understand where somebody's coming from and that your vision is not coming across the way maybe you intended.
Yeah, I don't necessarily, like, I don't blame them for that, and, like, I respect that. Yeah. But, like, the thing is, this is from a company, this is a product. That's what this thing is. Like, it's not, like, movies are, like, a form of art, but they're also products, and you know,
well, like, and the thing is too, like, I get it, the director like has this vision, is responsible for putting all of these pieces together and God, everything, Zoe. But ultimately, like, it's not just his movie. There are dozens on smaller projects, dozens of people involved, if not hundreds on larger projects. Like,
yeah, I mean, there was like two other writers credited.
Yeah,
this
there
movie
are a
too.
Lot of people involved here, and yeah. it's you know, it's a lot. And then this is an interesting discussion to have about, like, you know, this film as a medium in general. Like, yeah. You know, whose product is it at the end of the day? And I know that this was a discussion that a lot of people had about Buffy when all the stuff with Joss was, you know, being talked about a lot. And they're like, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, this wasn't just Joss's show. Like, this was, you know, this was, there were multiple writers and producers. We have all of the cast here who were putting their hearts and souls into it. Like,
that's the thing.
At the end of the day, it's not, you can't just call it his show because there's so many people here.
That's the thing that I hate for people whenever, like, I'm going to just say this. Like, call me out on it if you want, but like, Jeepers Creepers, like, it fucking sucks. Like, that dude is a terrible person, and I understand why people don't want to support that. But so many other people that didn't do terrible shit worked hard on that movie, and it's a fun movie, but it's just tainted by this terrible thing that happened.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, like, it's terrible, kind of
thing that a person did that got away with, and it's awful, and it's a appalling.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. Yeah. Like, but like, it sucks for the other people because it's a fucking team.
Yeah, Justin Long's performance in it is amazing.
I'm not even talking about that. Like, people behind the camera. Well, yeah,
I'm talking about people behind the camera too. I'm just saying, like, that is one of, like, that's a really good performance from him early on in his career, and it sucks that, like.
Yeah, I know. It's like his introduction as Scream King right there.
Yeah, and like, you know, it, like with the Harry Potter books and movies, they mean so much to so many people. Yeah. And I read somewhere that, like, somebody was like, well, we're just getting divorced from JK and we're keeping the kids. That's how people think of it, because, like, you know, it, and that's the other thing about art that I think we've talked about too, is that, like, once it's released to an audience, the audience has its own interpretation and its own meaning and its own, like, experience with it that is completely different from maybe what the creator ever meant for there to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, this is a whole, it's a real complicated thing when you start looking at all of it. And I hate that Ty West hates this so much, because I think it's so much fun.
I know, me too. It's a bummer, but whatever, man. It's his prerogative. It's, you know.
Yeah, and I can totally get being unhappy with the product that came out, but I love it.
Yeah.
For whoever made the decisions that were made. And, you know, if he says he doesn't want credit for the final product, that's fine.
But they, like, appealed to us.
Yeah, it that's appealed to us. Whoever did the certain things. And some of those are definitely a Ty West flair. You know what I mean? We've watched enough of his stuff to know, like, his hand in it.
You can see his fingerprints all over this movie in certain parts. But yeah, there are definitely parts where you can tell it's maybe not exactly his call.
Yeah, but I mean, like, definitely his sense of humor is throughout this.
Well, I'm just going to read the one listener review we had, which is very relevant to what we were talking about here. And we don't have to necessarily elaborate anymore because we already did. Yeah. But it's Cube Saves from Instagram, who says, weirdest Ty West movie. And it's probably for a very good reason, as we've already talked about.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's saying something, because Ty West movies tend to just kind of be weird.
Generally, yeah. They're very strange.
Yeah. And that's not a bad thing. He's got his own flavor, and that's good. But yeah,
all right, well, that's it for the show.
That's it for this week.
Yeah,
and next week we're going to a college dance. We're growing up a little bit.
Yeah,
we're also gonna be Stanvinis again.
Oh yeah,
because we're talking about The Prowler.
Oh man, that's one that we've wanted to talk about for a while. Yes. So it's cool that we finally get to do so.
Yeah, it's currently on Tubi, Fandango at Home, Prime, AMC Plus. I'm assuming that means it's also on Shudder right now.
Yeah, probably.
Shudder doesn't come up on my Google search for whatever reason.
Okay.
YouTube Prime Time, Sling TV Premium, and YouTube TV Premium. Yeah, so it's on a couple of the free ones like Tubi and Fandango. So definitely watch this if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, watch it again because it's fun.
It is on Shudder.
Okay, it is on Shudder. Yeah. Oh, that means that you can also watch the Joe Bob original the Shudder marathon. Mm-hmm. That's when this was shown. So if you want to watch the movie plus Joe Bob commentary, just go ahead and plug that
right
in
right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are shorter segments too, because it was an all-night marathon.
Yeah. Yeah, not as in depth.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find. I don't know if it transferred over to my new phone, but during the first time we watched, we did like a rewatch of the marathon with a bunch of peeps on Twitter, and I was plugging Talia into all of the posters. And by the time in the night we got to this one, it was a little weird, and we were pretty slab happy, and the edits were getting really weird.
Yeah, posters. Share that for that.
See if I can find it, if it's still on, if it transferred over to this phone or not. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
So that's it for this one. You can, if you want to find us elsewhere, you can find us on our website, which is whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com. We are also on social media, Twitter and a Blueski, which is Least Fave Pod. We're also on Threads and Instagram at Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. And also,
you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
Sorry, I don't know
what to
do this
part.
You went
out of order with these.
Well, this is my version of it.
Yeah, well, that's why you fucked up.
This is Alan Smithy right here.
Alan Smithy.
Yeah. You can email us leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com. We would also like to shout out our patrons, who are Joe
Freakatron,
as is his full name.
Got your name this time.
Yeah. Amber, Michael, Ward Zombie, and Tyler. Thank you guys so, so much for being patrons. We really, really appreciate you guys. Actually, I figured for this month we can call them the prom committee.
Oh, yes. Thank you to our prom committee.
Yeah.
If you're unable to be on the prom committee and would just like to offer suggestions to the court, you may do so. By just, you know, the free things like following us wherever you're listening to us. Maybe also liking us, giving us a rating, mm-hmm. a review if you feel like doing words.
You feel compelled.
That all helps us. It helps the algorithm, lets people know that, you know, we're being listened to and that we're worth listening to. Sharing us, especially on social media, helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. And word of mouth to your friends and family and whoever you think might be interested. You know, that does a whole lot for us too.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. So thank you guys. We appreciate all the support. Mm-hmm. We love you all very much.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next
time.
We'll
see you guys later.
Bye. I wonder, did he come back for Girl Meets World? I don't know. I've never watched that show.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.